But I want to do today, since we, you know, we're in this pressure, is I want to speak about Abashol. I think the last thing that we were discussing last year that we met, which was 2 weeks ago, we were discussing, again, the relationship between Yibam and Chalitza. And consistent with this theme is the next topic, and a major, major topic we've alluded to a lot, but a major topic in the Masechta, the question of Abashol. The first time we had Abashol was when the Gemara itself commented on the formulation of the Mishnah on Beis Amidal. The Mishnah on Beis Amidal, which of course we've seen many times, says that Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potros Tzoroseim B'Tzoros Tzoroseim Min HaChalitza U'Min HaYibum Right Ad So Fa'olam. So the 15 arayos exempt from Yibum and Chalitza. But we would have expected that the Mishnah would have said from Yibum and from Chalitza. Right? Instead, the Mishnah says from Chalitza and from Yibum. Not such a terrible kasha, but something to note why the order, why the flipped order, why Chalitza before Yibum in the Mishnah. So the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph discusses this. And the Gemara says as follows. This is four lines up from the bottom on Gimel Amud Aleph. We've discussed Gimel Amud Aleph and Gimel Amud Beis. I just want to review that for a minute. The Gemara says four lines from the bottom. The listnei mina yibum mina chalitza. Why does the Mishnah say to use the language right chalitza and yibum? Normally, if you look at the Torah, right, the Torah says parshas Ki Tetzeh. Starts with Yibum. They say, if you don't do Yibum, then it's Chalitza. Right? Instinctively, you know, the first thing we think of is Yibum and Chalitza. Right? The Masechta first deals with Yibum, and then later deals with Chalitza. It's understandable, right? The Chalitza is what happens when you don't do Yibum. So why this reversed order? So the Gemara said, Inami, or it could have said, if that's the Chiddush of Chalitza, it should have said, Mena Chalitza L'chudei, we would know, if there's not even Chalitza, there's certainly no Yibum. But if you need, if you're mentioning both already, why not mention them in the expected order? So here, for the first time, it's only Gimel and Aleph, but it's fascinating that the Gemara assumes that the allusion to this issue is already found in, you know, in the first Mishnah. We have reference to the debate between Abashol and the Chacham. So Abashol said, Abashol, the Omar, Mitzvah Chalitza Kodemes LeMitzvahs Yibum. Abashol is of the opinion that we prefer Chalitza over Yibum. Chalitza takes priority over Yibum, and therefore the words of the Mishnah are very Meduyak, Mina Chalitza, the preferred, Umina Yibum. Of course, the question is, why? I mean, as I say, in the Torah, it's clearly not that way. Objectively speaking, without any other factors, it can't be that way. The whole mitzvah of Yibum was l'hakim l'achid shem b'Yisrael. Chalitza is if you, you know, me'ein yivami liyabim. Right? If he refuses, so this is what we turn to. We've discussed a lot, you know, whether it's a kind of nita klase, you know, whether it's, you know, roughly equal, are they two approaches the same thing, are they opposites? You know, is one a safety valve for the other? We've discussed a lot about the relationships, and this is part of the topic too. But it seems clear that the preference is fundamentally Yibum as much, whatever, even if you want to take the most glowing perspective on Chalitza, right, to the most glowing Chalitza would make it, you know, an acceptable alternative to Yibum. Not a preferred state, a priority. So what is going on here? Why does Abishol think that Mitzvah Chalitza is Kodemus and Mitzvah Sibah? So the larger discussion of Abishol and the Chachamim, first let's turn backwards and then we'll turn forward. So the backwards is, if you have the sheets number 6, set 6, so we have the Mishnah and Masechet Bechoros. Mishnah Bechoros says, Lo Ratu Livdoso. Again, what's this doing in the Masechet? Why is the Yibum and Chalitza discussion in Bechoros? Because in Bechoros we talk about Pidyon and Arifas Chamor, which is a comparable situation where you have two options as a mitzvah. So the Mishnah says, Lo Ratu Livdoso. If you have a Peter Chamor, the firstborn of a Chamor, And you don't want to do pidgin, you don't want to give a seh to the Kohen, right, in lieu of that. So the din is, Orfo bekofitz me'acharav. You've cut off its head, right? Bekovro, and you bury it. This is Padilla, though, Kodemus, the Mitzarif, even though there are two options. There is a hierarchy. It's better to do pidgin than it is to do arifa. Shenemar, v'imlo sifteh v'arafto. Similarly, not exactly, but close at least. Mitzvah si'ida, kodemus, the mitzvah p'diya. If you have an Amma Ivriya, right, a Jewish maidservant. So there are two options. Either you can marry her off to her adon, meaning the captivity is a gateway or a pathway to marriage, talking about a Jewish adon, obviously. Or there should be pidgin, and he should redeem her from that state. Shenemar, asher lo ye'ada, right, this is Parshas Mishpatim coming up. Vehefda. They both have mapikes. Mitzvah Yibum, the third one is, that's the relevant one for tonight. Mitzvah Yibum, kodemes the mitzvah chalitza. We give priority of Yibum over that of chalitza. And then the Mishnah explains. Barishona, shayu miskavnim l'shem mitzvah. In the beginning, in the olden days, you know, the good old days, when people were able to muster the proper kabana, so in those days, they used to give priority to Yibum over chalitza. Be'achshav, but what about now? Right, in our more, you know, difficult, challenging times, she'ein miskavnim l'shem mitzvah, where there's no proper kabana l'mitzvah, Amru, so the Chachamim said, Mitzvah Chalitza Kodemus L'Mitzvahs Yibum. So that, now we understand that Chalitza Kodem L'Yibum is based on the principle, not of the intrinsic, right, preference of Chalitza for Yibum. It is a risk-reward, calculation. In other words, while Yibum is preferred over Chalitza, it's also more precarious, it's more dangerous than Chalitza, and therefore the Chachamim prefer, when the risk gets too great, in other words, in an era where we don't trust that you'll be able to muster the proper kavana, then the Chachamim preferred chalitza to Yibum. That's the Mishnah. Okay. Fine. And then the round off Mishnah. But the skula ba'adam u'kodem l'chal adam shenemar lo yigael v'nimkar be'erkecha. Okay. So that's the Mishnah in Bechoros. The Mishnah in Bechoros basically seems to be recording a debate, a change or a shift, right, from one era in which Yibum was preferred to another era in which Chalitza is the safer bet and therefore the preferred option. Let's look further at the Gemara on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, where this is fleshed out in somewhat greater detail. I really should have put the Gemara. I didn't. Okay. Anyway, I should have put the Gemara here in Suvis also, Samachtal and Rabbanalit, but we'll talk about it. Okay. Okay. The Gemara here says as well. The original discussion here is a discussion of what happens if there's more than one brother. We talked about this. The Mishnah Lamed Tes Amud Aleph says, Mitzvah Begadol Yavim, the mitzvah, the obligation, is for the oldest brother, according to most Rishonim, the older brother, according to the Rambam, the oldest brother, meaning after the oldest, everybody's equal, according to the Rambam, but most Rishonim say, in whatever order, the older brother, to do the Yibum. Lo Ratzah, he's not interested. So then, Mahalchen Al Kol Achen, then you go to the other brothers. Lo Ratzu, if they're not interested in that, you go back to the older brother, oldest brother, it's your job to either do chalitza or do yibum. Okay. Then the Gemara has a discussion. What happens if you could either have the yibum of a katan or the chalitza of a gadol? Right, what's preferred? That's the whole discussion in the Gemara. On the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, to the top of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and that's the context. So then the Gemara says as follows. It's not awesome. Everybody have that? It's about roughly halfway down on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Beginning word of the line is Tanan. Everybody have that? Tzanasa, mitzvah tzibum, kodemis the mitzvah chalitza, barishon l'shem miskavim l'shem mitzvah. This is a quotation of the Mishnah B'charos, which basically says that, right, in the olden days, when proper kavana could be accomplished, so yibum is preferred over chalitza. Achshav she'en miskavim l'shem mitzvah, in our day where we can no longer rely that people are going to muster the proper kavana, amru, so they came to the conclusion that mitzvah chalitza kodemis the mitzvah yibum. It's better to do yibum chalitza than yibum. Amrav, and the Gemara says, Rav said, ein kofin. This is a big debate among the Rishonim. I'm going to read this line, ein kofin, maybe we'll get back to it. Rashi says that it means, even though in our day we prefer chalitza over yibum, because of the safety factor, as we'll discuss in a moment, namely if you can't accomplish the proper kavana, it's better to do chalitza. But if the yavam and yibama both prefer to do yibum, says Rav, ein kofin, we'll allow them to. Rabbeinu Tam says that's not the pshat. Rabbeinu Tam in this Tosis on the right says that's not correct, because if we are concerned about the lack of kavana, then why are we going to let them? Why is it up to them? We should protect them against themselves. We shouldn't allow it. And therefore he says, no, this refers not according to the Mandamar that chalitza is preferred because it's safer. It's the other way. Let's say, what about the Mandamar who says yibum kodem l'chalitza? You're supposed to do yibum. So let's say that both chasen and kala refer, or at least the chasen says, I'm willing to do chalitza, but I'm not willing to do yibum. So the rule is, ein kofin, he has that choice. That's how it tells us reads it. Yeah.
I don't understand why the Mishnah and the Chavos, the cases that gives a hierarchy, and when it comes to Yibum, it gives a swallow. I mean, why don't you use the same hierarchy from the Chumash that Yibum came first?
Say that again? No. It's saying everybody agrees that in principle, Yibum comes first. Because the Parshas Kitteh say it's that way, and logically it's that way as well. What they're saying is, but that was in the time when we felt that it would be a viable Yibum. But once you're in a situation where you don't think the kavanah is going to be proper, as we'll see in a moment, what's the kavanah problem? Yeah, so then that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying that nishtanu azmanim, not because the din Torah changes, but because there's a high yibum, as we'll explain in a minute, is a high stakes game.
Right.
And therefore, the rewards are great, but the risks are equally great. So if you live in an era where people are capable of avoiding, the downside, then Yibum is Kodem. So that's what the Mishnah says. Yibum, all things being equal, is Kodem. Barishona, when they could accomplish a proper Kabbalah. But in our day, where we don't trust people anymore, that they're on that level, that's when it's shifted. But we'll soon see that that's really Machlokas too. So that's the Ein Kofin. The same Kofin is interpreted oppositely by Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Anyways, Kiyasa the Kavod Rav Amaluhu, Yiboy Skolitz, Yiboy Siyabim, Bididach, Tala Rachmana. Right, it's up to you. They said to the Yavam, you want to do Yivam, we can do Yivam, you want to do Chalitza. It's whatever Torah gives you the choice. It says, V'im lo yachpots, Ha'ish, Ha'im Chafetz, but if he wants, Yiboy Chalitz, Yiboy Yavim, sorry. Now, if Rabbeinu Sava ain't Kofin, he also held ein kofin midatkin Rabbi Yehuda Begita, the chalitza, the lashon of a get chalitza, like if it's a chalitza, so you write up a document, the lashon of that document is as follows. Eich plonis pas ploni, right, this woman, the daughter of X, right, Sarah bas Ruvein, akrabas yos ploni yibama, right, she encountered her, yabam, right, Kadmana, and brought him close to Lebedina, to Bezdin. She brought him in front of Bezdin. The Ashtemod Inhu, Dahua, the Misna, Me'abon Inhu, and it was established, or was identified, that this indeed is the brother, from the father's side, meaning he's a proper candidate for Yibum. The Umri Lay, and they said to him, meaning the Bezdin addresses this man, right, who has been brought by the woman in front of Bezdin, And they say to him, "Eat sabbis liyavim." Something sounds so much better in Aramaic, doesn't it? Eat sabbis liyavim, yavim. If you prefer, right, to do yibum, then do yibum. The ilod, if not, so itla leraglech, turn your, stretch your foot, right, the yaminav, the itla leragla, the yaminya, the share sine me'al raglai, and she takes off the shoe, you know, from his foot. The yarkis ba'anpai, roka to mischazia lebedina al ara, a spit which is noticeable right on the ground. And the rabchia bar avi mesayimbad, b'shmed rav yudahi, to conclude the nusach of this get chalitza, the akrinu, and she, you know, reads, by the kosev b'sefer araisa, the Moshe. The words that are written in the Parsha in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning in the Sefer Torah. Then the Gemara says, Ashtimo de'inu, what do we mean that you identify, you know, that he's a proper candidate, he's a brother from the father. So Pligi Barav, that's a very important Gemara, but it's not for now. Pligi Barav, Achavar Avina, Chadamar Be'edim, one says you need witnesses, plural, Chadamar Afilu Karav Afilu Isha, to identify a brother-in-law for the purpose of Yibum, is that Dabar Shebe'erva, in which case you should need Shnayim, or is it more what we call Edus Hakara, like a general identification, in which case it's like Edechon Nem and Bisurim, and even a Karov, even an Isha, meaning you don't need two Edim Ksherim, all you need is one person who has Nemanus, not Edus. Okay. V'hilchasa Gilui Milsa B'almahu, Afilu Karov Afilu Isha. Fine. Now, already the Gemara has hinted at the debate by quoting the Mishnah and Bechor. So now the Gemara elaborates more fully. For Rishon HaShem B'Skavim L'Shem Mitzvah, Mitzvah Sivum Kodum Mitzvah Chalitza. Right? This is what comes out of the Mishnah. In the olden days, right, when people had this ability to do Yibum properly with the right Kavanah, so then that was the preferred solution. The Akshav she'ein mitzkavim l'shem mitzvah, but nowadays Amru the Chachamim said mitzvah chalitza kodemus l'mitzvah sibum. Fine. Amar Rami bar Chama Amar Rav Yitzchak Chazru lomar. However, some people retracted or recanted and said, even bizmaneinu mitzvah sibum kodemus l'mitzvah chalitza. Even bizmaneinu yibum comes first. Now here the Gemara has a terrific line. Now, so the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, what's the reason for this change?" Right? Akshur dari. Is it possible that the generations improved? Meaning, in the olden days, people knew and could do a proper yibum. Right then, there was a period of time where we didn't trust them to muster the proper kavana. So what? Things got actually got better. Right, you know, lo yitachein, inconceivable. So the truth is, the whole issue here, you know, this is part of an interesting other topic, which I don't want to get into right now, but, you know, there are people who are of the opinion, you know, that, and there are some makoros in this direction too. It's more popular today than, I mean, it's accepted more as a davar pashut, than, you know, than, it's certainly not a davar pashut, although there are makoros, and that is this idea of, you know, Yeridas Adoros, or what the scope, or what do we mean when we talk about Yeridas Adoros, right? On a certain level, you know, people say, oh, the, you know, further you are away from Parsha that we read this past Shabbos, you know, Gilui Shechina, Maimon Har Sinai, so, you know, by definition, that makes people spiritually, I guess, less aware, or less mature, less acute, as the case may be. And if indeed that is true, of course, again, even if that is true, we understand that that's said about, you know, the totality of generation or generations. There are always exceptions. You know, there were always insensitive people, you know, in older generations, and there are always acutely, highly developed, you know, religious personas, you know, in later generations. But in terms of characterizing, let's say, you know, an entire population of the Jewish people, so there is that, there are makoros that point, in that direction.
Are we showing Kamalachim?
Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah. So is that just a, you know, statement of, you know, is that about knowledge? Is that about spirituality? Is it about, you know, what exactly is that? That's it. But that's one of the Makoros, no question. And from that point of view, when the Gemara here says, Akshur Dore, with an exclamation point, the question mark, and an exclamation point, it would support that idea as well. The Gemara here is saying, what? All of a sudden the generations became more reliable. That's not the way to march, the inexorable, march to decline, you know, doesn't support that that perspective. Okay. In the case of Yibum, I think that there are other issues as well. Number one, the question of the impact of society is particularly an acute one. In other words, the issues that require special lishma or special kavana in Yibum, as I'm going to try to develop, at least the way I understand it, have to do with the special challenge of Yibum to establish, right, a particularly sensitive, highly charged notion of tznius. In other words, to begin with, when you're talking about Yibum, you're talking about the Isur Meshasah. This is something we've been talking about all year. And in order to overcome what is normally an erva, Chai Bekrisus, this is what I've been suggesting, so it's necessary to take steps, right, particularly to ensure that what you're doing is L'Shem Shemayim. And that instead of being a Heter of Eshazach, it's really a Kiyum of Ishus Shel Kedushas Yibum. Right? Personally, I think that that is the Yisod upon which Abishol is based. Abishol's idea that you require a special kavana, as we'll explain. Try to develop that in the next couple of shiurim. And if that's true, so I think the question of the surrounding culture, you know, becomes particularly an issue. Again, if you live in a society or the general, you know, direction of society is that of moral decline, or let's say, you know, of increased license, you know, when it comes to matters of tzius, etc. So then it becomes very difficult to rely, right, on the very pristine, almost purist kind of motivation, you know, that is necessary in the context of Yibum. And again, we know that society isn't always in decline, and things are sometimes, you know, a bit complex. I mean, we live in an era where there's a lot of advancement, you know, technologically, even on, you know, certain issues. But in terms of standards of tznius and dignity and privacy, etc., so the decline is astonishing. You know, even what? I think Kew Gardens is probably more insulated than most places, but maybe not compared to Hillcrest or Jamaica State. But I probably Queens is probably like a nicer, kinder place, not just Jewishly, but probably more generally. But I, to be honest, I was in I had jury duty. It turns out last Tuesday, and it's scary. You know, it's really scary. I mean, some of the cases that one could be in a courtroom and be exposed to things that are very graphic and very seriously very disturbing. So, and everything now is it's like nothing. The language and I read a piece in today's paper. I don't want to pontificate on current events, but we get Newsweek. And I picked up my Newsweek, over the weekend to look at, and I was shocked. And I said, since when does, there's no standards of language? And so I saw in today's Times that there was actually some fallout. But, it's language, privacy, dignity, Facebook, all of these things. I mean, we live in a time where technologically, obviously, incredible things are happening, and even morality, in some respects, there are very positive advances in terms of people's sensitivity, their care for each other. Some things are just amazing. The dignity of life, in some things, medically and otherwise. And at the same time, you know, in the area of privacy and dignity and everything having to do with that area of life, which is a very challenging area, the level of deterioration, even in, you know, 10 years, never mind, you know, longer, is absolutely astounding. So I think that's another way of explaining Akshar Dari, not so much Yerida, it doesn't have to be Yerida Sandoros per se, it may also be that, like, you know, the way that society is moving, or at least, and they knew the societies in which, you know, mostly they were, you know, they were discussing, you know, from the time of the, you know, of the Mishnah, you know, till the discussion of the Gemara, right? You know, they certainly knew what they were dealing with. I'm not a historian of that period, although it's not that difficult to find out. But, you know, so instead of being a statement of principle, Akshar Dari, is it impossible, let's say, that one generation will ever be better? I mean, the generation of, you know, Yoshiyahu was actually better than the generation that preceded, because of the impact of one man and the changes that he brought about. And that's been true, obviously, in other times as well. But it could just very well be that, you know, they understood what was going on around them in these centuries, and the idea that this became less of a problem, you know, given the larger climate, was just inconceivable. Anyways, either way, it's an interesting line. Akshar Dari is a challenging line. But the Gemara then goes on to say that, in fact, the reason for recanting on the priority of Chalitza is not because of our faith that, indeed, the generations, you know, had improved in terms of this matter, but that Afal Pi Chein, even though the risk of an impure, let's say, Yibum, right, was as bad or worse, nonetheless, Yibum Kodem, Mikara Savri Ka'abashol, because originally they held like Abashol. Here's where we get, finally, a clearer statement of what it is that Abashol is concerned about. This statement appears also in the Gemara in Ksuvis, two places in the Babli. It also appears in the Tosefta, a slightly different version here in Perek Vav, Tosefta Yud, and in the Yerushalmi, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, here in Yevamos. Also slightly different, but Abashol Omer Hakonis Esuvimto L'Shem Noi. This is fascinating, right? Because of her beauty. Again, it's not such a scandal. You know, one should marry a person for who they are. That's obvious. But you know, Kala Noi V'Chasuda. You know, so it's not like Noi is a feature which is completely irrelevant. When the Torah describes Sarah Imenu, you know, she's described for her beauty. Again, it's fascinating. In Chazal, right, they say, well, you know, all of a sudden Avraham Avinu, you know, is describing Sarah's beauty, you know, in the context of having to, you know, to leave Eretz Yisrael, being concerned, and then forcing her, or, you know, asking her, you know, to identify herself as Achoseinu. So there are different views in Chazal. Only now her beauty became an issue. It's one view. Rashi even quotes them, right? This is the first time he had to take note of that. So it's interesting. I mean, there too you have, a reflection in Chazal of, you know, whether or not, you know, the fact that she was Yifas Toar, and so on, is you know, Yifei Mare, is that some extraneous thing? Is something he should have been ignoring until now? Or absolutely not. That's just, you know, that's a compliment. And the same is true we have in Tanakh and in many places, and in Chazal. You know, the Kalanov Chasuda is an interesting example, because so even if she isn't, but she is, right? She's the Kala, so Alpidin. She's Noah the Chasuda, right? It's also Noah and Chasuda, the combination. So it's a really interesting thing. Anyways, the point is that L'Shem Noah is not it's not just a scandal, right? So what's Abishol want from us, right? We need to understand what the problem is. The next one is even more fascinating. I should say that in the Yerushalmi, it says L'Shem Toar, which some people say means L'Shem Noah as well. Unless it means title, but Yichus, but okay. The next one is L'Shem Ishus. L'Shem Ishus is even more fascinating. What's wrong with Lashon Ishus? He's miyabim her because he wants to marry her. Falcon? Right? So, does this mean to say, and I should mention also, the Tosefta and the Rishalmi do not have Lashon Ishus. But we have it in Navli, here and the Gemara, the parallel Gemara in Tzuvah Samach Talib. So, is the Gemara really saying that if he's motivated by the fact he wants to marry her, that's a problem? Or maybe it's a little bit different. I mean, he always wanted to marry her. His brother got there first. Right? So instead of looking at what he's doing as Lahakim Lach and Shem B'Yisrael, he sees it as an opportunity to finally marry this person. There's a really fascinating tshuva. I should have put it down. Maybe I will for next time we come back. There's a tshuva of the Gonim. It's quoted in the Sefer Mikzos and cited in the Ozeruah about the following interesting case. The man is dying, right? Cloney is dying. And, you know, his halachic advisors, who are called in the tshuva Nikiei Hadas, meaning they're people of high refinement and they're, you know, looking out for everybody. So they say to Cloney, who's dying, you know, you're dying, you should really give your wife a get so she won't, there are no children, you should give your wife a get so she'll, you know, not have to be subject to taking poop. Okay. And Kakav is about to do it, and then the brother bursts into the room. Now he says, stop that divorce. Right? He says, leave her alone.
She'll be fine.
So the Gaonim actually pogged. The Arzurah seems to accept the Salacha. I don't think it's obvious at all. But I'm not sure if anybody disagrees, because this is the tshuva. It's the tshuva of the Gaonim, and I don't know if any explicit person disagrees. So that's the Shem Ishus. For Abishol, that's a problem. And there's a line in the tshuva that says something to the effect like, something like, you know, because while he's still alive, and she's an Eish Esach, right? So, you know, he, by expressing his interest at that point, Ki'ilu doesn't say it exactly this way. I'm embellishing it significantly, but I think this is really what he's saying, is meaning you have to take Eish Esach and turn it into a Ki'im Ishus, you know, and that can only be when you relate to her as Eish Esach, La'akam Risas, you know, Ha'ach. But while he's still alive, when you're anticipating the Yibum, you're mixing up the two Eish Esachs. The Eish Esach, which is an Erba and a Chiv Kares, and the Eish Esach, which is an act of Chesed, is Mechayev you, right, to do Yibum. And that's a problem. I think it's just an amazing...
What about Eish Esach and
a chacham has to know, has to be roes hanolad, when to be roes hanolad. Right? Okay, there's some things, you know, in its time. It's just jumping the gun here contaminates, in other words, it intermingles, sure, you know, the two aspects.
It doesn't change anything, really. It just changes it from a yibo situation to an isho situation. Because he could, after Gershon, the brother could marry her.
No. Well, he could. No, he can't. I'm sorry. Not, normally he can't. You're talking about Eish Esach? Eish Esach is without Yibum?
After he dies.
Gerushin, or are you talking about the death? No. You can't marry.
Divorce
and death.
Yeah, that's the case.
If there's divorce and death. Oh, you mean this case? You mean this particular case? Okay. No. Sorry. No, not correct. No. He can't marry her. He can only, the only time when you can marry, no. Only your wife's sister. If your wife's sister, after the divorce and death,
you can marry her.
I'm sorry, the death is opposed to divorce.
Right,
yeah,
right,
I'm sorry.
Right.
But that's it. It doesn't. The other's also.
Eish
Esach applies after Misa, too. Eish Esach
applies
after Misa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. What if she got married?
No, I'm saying she's divorced. When they married and divorced. After the death. So then she marries somebody else and then
gets
divorced?
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Oh,
Eish Esach.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
According to Abishol,
This is really a one-night stand, right? I mean, what happens after that first night? Because after that first night...
In general.
Yeah.
So that's a very good question. The Pashtus, I mean, it's amazing that you bring that up. The Pashtus, even Abba Shaul says, if you do Yibum properly, then L'kachalali, I mean, the Pasuk says, Yibama Yavalevi Yibma, L'kachalali Yisha, she's your wife. However, there is this Yerushalmi. You know, let's just finish one more line and thing, and then I'm going to read you the Yerushalmi, because what you're saying is very fascinating. There's this Yerushalmi that seems to say that, according to Abba Shaul, how you relate to her as your wife is also different. Right? Now, according, there are two versions of the Yerushalmi, so I'll just get them on the table. I don't know if we'll discuss it all tonight, but the Tosfos and Shabbos' version of the Yerushalmi sounds like there's only a Heter Bia Rishona, which is what you just said. The simple reading of the Rishonim, the way that it's understood by the Rishonim, is a little more complicated than that. So I'll just get it.
Every case of Yibum was only be a Rishonim?
No.
What's he talking about?
He's saying for Abba Shaul. Is there such a thing for Abba Shaul? We'll get to it in a minute. Normally, it's not that way. Remember that we've seen a few times. The Gemara says on Kaufman Beis that Chai Lavin is a Heter be a Rishonim, Midaraisa. Midarabana, we don't do it. Be a Rishonim Midaraisa, and then after that, he has to divorce her. But not normally Yibum. But what about Abba Shaul?
Why would you assume only be a Rishonim?
So we'll see. Okay. So, Abba Shaul, yeah. So, what is this Abba Shaul? So, I said the L'shem Ishus is fascinating. Now, the L'shem Ishus. Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that for the moment. Okay. Where am I? L'shem, not L'shem Ishus. The third one, L'shem Dabaracha. What does that mean?
Money.
Some people say money, and some people say that it is. Let's make sure this isn't an emergency. No. Some people say money, and some people say that it refers to, you know, physical compulsion of some sort, taiva or something of that sort. Okay. In Yerushalmi, they have nechasin. There's a very famous shuva of the Rivash.
Wouldn't that be noy?
No. What? No, noy is beauty.
You had a compulsion and...
No, I guess it means...
Attraction.
Yeah. There's a very fascinating shuva of the Rivash before I should just mention it. And the end of Simon Tesvav, I don't think I have it here. No. Here. One second. The let's check if I have it in French. No. So there's a famous tshuva of the Rivash in Siman Tesvav, where the Rivash was asked about a certain case. There was this case. There was this 95-year-old woman, or close to it. She was 90 or whatever. And all of a sudden, this 26-year-old or something was courting her. She happened to have been very wealthy. What? Yeah. So this is exactly it. So he, you know, she couldn't have children at the age of 95 anymore, it seems. What's that? So he's courting her. So the Tove Ha'ir or whatever, they refuse to sanction this marriage. So the fellow went to the government, to the mayor. He was friendly with the mayor. He had just given him a campaign donation or something. And he said to him, I'm not making this up. I mean, I'm a little making it up. the main parts I'm not making up. I'm just adding a little bit. But it is in Siman Tesvav, the Chuvus HaRivash. And he said to them, the Jews look at these draconian laws that they're imposing on us. They won't let us get married unless we can, you know, produce children. It's a marriage that can't produce children is being... He forgot to mention that he was 29 and that she was 95, and that there might have been, you know, other indications that this wasn't a sincere marriage. He forgot those parts. He didn't mention that. He just said, look what they're doing. Are you going to allow, and you're the mayor of the city, you're going to allow a situation where marriages... You know, can't take place. For the sake of companionship, without producing children. So the mayor, as you can imagine, who was up for re-election, got very incensed. And this tshuva was sent to the Rivash to Paskin. So the Rivash says of the tshuva, he starts off and he says, well, al pidin, if a man hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah period of Arivia, then really he should, not that it will be chal, but, you know, if Bezin has any say in the matter, they should be directing him to marry somebody so that he can accomplish the mitzvah of the period of Arivia. However, says the Ritz of Paskin tshuva, he says, however, you know, Bismanenu, he says, there are so many other issues, you know, that are pressing and challenging, and the question of shiduchim in our communities and relationships and whatever, you know, if people aren't suing each other, then ein ksuva shein batigra, if people aren't fighting and there's not all sorts of tension and court cases, you know, we should just be happy that there are tranquil marriages. And Bismanenu, he says, I've never seen a dayan who will give Eitz HaTova, but I've never seen an ear and a bezdin and a dayan who were kofa on such a matter. And of course, not on the marrying about Talmud Chacham and 100 other things that, again, they're all important values. Some of them are even halachos, some of them are not, but some of them are Eitz HaTova, some of them are halachos. Even the ones that are halachos, so Bismanenu, this is not a priority that we can afford, you know, to pursue right now, even though the values are very important. This is a very interesting tshuva. So he says, at the same time, he says, you know, this is really a very unsavory kind of a thing. It's obvious that this fellow is trying to exploit her, and therefore, you know, this should be discouraged. However, he says, it's not like it's Yibum and Abba Shalom. Meaning, if a person, the Gemara says in Kiddushin that a person should marry an Isha Hogenes, and she should marry somebody who's Hagun. So the Rivash says, yeah, that refers to psulim. But if somebody is, from a Yochsin point of view, is kosher, there's no halacha that prohibits marrying an unsavory person or a person who's motivated by money. We don't approve of such a thing. But it's not osur, meaning the contrast to Abashol, right, is basically saying that when it comes to Yibum, you know, L'shem Davar Acher, the Shem Noah, even the Shem Ishus, right? Anything that's not purity of motive. Purity of motive is a wonderful idea. It's certainly not a requirement in Ishus. Now again, there are other Gemaras. There's the Gemara in Nedarim, Chafam Abeis, which we talked about when we learned Gittin some years back. We started with Hakadama at the end of Gittin. So I read some of those Gemaras then. The Gemara basically says, again, that a person has to relate to his wife with respect, right? And he has to remember, you know, that mutual dignity is a cornerstone of the marriage, and also his, physical relationship with her should always be, you know, respectful, and kavanah should be l'shem shemayim, and so on and so forth. And the Gemara uses language there, especially the Rishonim who interpret that Gemara, which come very close to the language which we're about to see in a second in Avashol. Erva, Manzer, I mean, if you don't, if you have thoughts of other, you know, relationships at the time, you know, of intimacy and so on, it's almost like, Erva and Manzer. Very strong language, very good, meaning the halacha is basically saying that you have to behave, you know, according to certain, you know, elevated, refined code. And the language is saying it's very Abishol-esque, as Rishonim formulated. But having said that, no one's saying that that's ma'akev, no one's saying, you know, that that changes the halakha. These are all preferences. Again, Tosis here, through Maskel, the Shemishus, says that the tepekle aleha Shemishus, Amari ki ein perusha kahid samuch. This is the Gemara later on. Ratzel the Shem Noi, Konsa, Ratzel the Shem Ishus, Konsa, Tahil the Shem Ishus, Haino the Shem Mitzvah Yibum. I gav ne ika the Karakabal Yivimta. To make a long story short, there's a kind of a little bit of a Girsa problem in Tosis here. But Tosis here seems to imply that even in regular Ishus, one should be motivated to Shem Ishus. Right here in Yibum, you can't even be motivated to Shem Ishus. Right? You should be motivated to Shem Yibum. But in Ishus, at least l'chatchila, there's a l'shem Ishus. So it's a really interesting question. But no one, even if as far as you might want to push it, we'll see in a moment the Yerushalmi that I said I would bring up in connection with your question. So the Knei Moshe also tries to relate what's going on here in Yibum to Ishus generally. What I'm trying to say is, even in Ishus itself, there are discussions about L'shem Noi, L'shem Momon, right, L'shem, Davar Acher, in the Tznius sense of it. And there are echoes that, one should be L'shem Shemayim. And the Rambam quotes these things in Perek Chaf Aleph, Hilchos Yisuri Bia, and Shulchan Aruch, even in the beginning of Eben Hoezer, like Siman Aleph. It's important to know that. Having said that, and in the most extreme way that we find this in regular Ishus, right, doesn't compare to what Abba Shaul says in Yibum. And that's because the next line, Abba Shaul says, L'shem Noi, L'shem Isha, L'shem Davar Acher, if you do it, Ki'ilu Pogea Be'erva, that's a very strong line, the Karav Ani Be'inai Lios Havlat Mamzer. Right, them is, as I say, fighting words. That's something to, to inspire some fear, some pachat. Right, Pogea Be'erva, the Karav Ani Be'inai Havlat Mamzer. Well, because of L'shem Noi, because of L'shem Ishus. Wow. What does he mean by that? Now, before we get back to that, for Chachamim Omrim, Yivama Yavo Leha Mikom Ha'om, meaning as long as you do Yibum properly, even if it's L'shem Noi, even if it's L'shem Ishus, even if it's L'shem Job, L'shem Dover Acher, it's Yivama Yavo Leha, he did Yibum, she's his sister-in-law, he's L'hakim L'hakim Shem. The fact that he doesn't have pure motivations is not Ma'akev, maybe it's not even the Chatchila. That's a debate in the Rishonim too. So the Gemara says, Man Tana L'Hod Tan Rabbanon, Yivamo Yavo Aleha Mitzvah, right? What's the Yivamo Yavo Aleha Mikom Makom? That's the Chachamim. Who's the one who said Yivamo Yavo Aleha Mitzvah? Shebetchila Yisalav B'chlal Heter. Nesra, originally before she married his brother, she was Miteres Lo, right? Nesra, Bechazra, Behutra, then she married his brother, she became forbidden to him, and then Chazra Behutra, he died, the brother died without children, and now she is open to Yibum. So Yachal Tatzor Lehetera Rishon, I might think we go back to the way things were before he married her. Right? Talmud Lomar Yavama Yavaleha Mitzvah. That's the Brisa. So what does that all mean? So the Gemara says, Man Tana, who said this? All right, Yitzchak Bar Dimi, Abba Shaul, that's Abba Shaul, this is what he meant. Yivama Yavo Leha Mitzvah. Shebetchila Yisav Echlal Heter. Again, originally, she was a Pnuya. Rotsa, at that point, if he wanted to marry her, L'shem Noi, Kontza, L'shem Ishus, Kontza, right? Doesn't say L'shem Davar Acher, but obviously that too. This is a confirmation of what the Rivash was saying, right? It doesn't have to be idealistic. It's not something that we're necessarily happy about, but the conditions would certainly be chal in every way. But Nesra, then, the brother married her. She's a Surala. Because of Rehutra, Yachol Tachsalatera Rishon, and now he could be miyabim her, L'shem Noi, L'shem Ishus, L'shem Davar Acher. Tam Lami Vame Alecha, L'mitzvah. Right? Meaning, only L'shem Mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, Rav Amar, Afil Tem Rabbanon. Maybe this price is Rabbanon V'Hachi Kamar. Yivamo Yavo Leha. Right? Mitzvah. Shebetchila Yisro B'chalal Heter. Again, same idea. Originally, she was a Pnuya. Ratza Konsa, Ratza Eina Konsa. Nesra, Chazar V'Hutra. Right? So, then she became prohibited to him. Then she became a Yavama. Yachal Taksa La Tera Rishon, Ratza Konsa, Ratza Eina Konsa. Maybe he doesn't have a Chiv, he only has a Heter of Yibum. So the Gemara says, Ratza Eina Konsa? How could he even think such a thing? That Yibum would be a Heter, but not a Mitzvah. Well, Gida Bey, Bechditzi Book, the Zika. You can't just leave her there. It can't be just a Rishus. Ela Eima Ratza Konsa, Ratza Choletzla. Meaning, of course, he has to do something, but he has an option. He could do either Yibum or Chalitza. We prefer the din to be mitzvah tzibur. So basically the Gemara here has, just to sum up so far, the Gemara has a machlokes on the shel chachamim, whether yibum bizmanenu, meaning bizman, that you can no longer rely on perfect lishma, is the yibum preferred to chalitza or not. And what we have is an amazing din and formulation of Abishol. Right? Abishol says, l'shem noid, l'shem davar acher, even l'shem ishus, is improper. Now, I use the word improper. He also says, pogea, ki'ilu pogea be'erva, right? The karav adavar b'einai shavlad mamzer. Now, those statements have to be assessed. And on several levels. Number one, I said, the first thing is, we're terrified. You can see why Yibum, you know, became a second option. Who wants to be pogea be'erva and karav b'einai adavar shavlad mamzer? Right, so it's very strong words, very, very strong language. And wow, I mean, just because l'shem noi, just because, you know, l'shem ishus, wow. But then, on further reflection, right, the next question is, did he mean it or not? And that in two senses. Number one, like, is it possible that improper l'shma will trigger a result of erva and mamzer? Ad kedei kach. Moreover, if that's really what you mean, so why use the expression pogeya and karov b'einai hadavar shehu mamzer? Say it's achos, it's eshesach, and eshesach is kares and mamzer. What's the pogeya? Right? In Yerushalmi they drop the pogeya harehu erva, but they still have karov b'einai hadavar shehu mamzer. So on the one hand, if you know, it's amazing strong language. It's hard to believe that it would really have that devastating consequence. Moreover, pogeya and karbeinai implies that it, you know, it's like it, but it isn't it. You know, at the same time, what does that mean if it's not real? Right. The Rashi Alatar holds that it's real. Right. Rashi mentions that it's Eishasach. If you look here, Rashi Amar Avin Kofin says, "I nicha." I mentioned before, "I nicha l'travayu liyivume in kofin osolachlots." The name of the mitzvah mechavni upoga beisur eshasach. As Rashi mentions, it's actually eshasach. The Ramban holds this way as well. The question is, are the Rishonim who don't? So, in my opinion, that might be Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam paskins like Abishol, as we'll discuss. Most Rishonim paskin like the Chachamim. The Rambam, the Rif, the Ramban, the Ravid, the large majority of Rishonim paskin that Yibum is Kodim L'Chalitza. The Rabbeinu Tam, possibly Rashi, but Rabbeinu Tam, Yor Zeruah, some of the Chachmei Tzorfat and Chachmei Ashkenaz paskin that Abishol is L'Halacha. Very important argument, both practically and in terms of understanding some of the Gemaras. So the first challenge we have is to figure out what does Abishol mean. Is it the realistic Abishol, meaning these things really have that devastating consequence, or is it more of a melitza, in which case what do we mean by it and what are its implications? Moreover, if we're talking about the real thing, so then there's a bit of a pella, because whenever the Gemara brings up Abishol and the Chachamim, they speak about it in terms of kedimas chalitza or kedimas yibum. Like, what does Chachamim tell you to do? What's their priority? What's their preference? If indeed we're talking about mamzer and erba, so why focus on the question of kedima? Right? It's more than that. The Ramban already points out, and the other Rishonim followed suit, that if you really hold like Abishol, you're going to have problems with other issues in the Masechta. You really need purity of motivation when it comes to Yibum. There's a Mishnah on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, we saw it earlier in the year. Mishnah says, on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, beginning of Abba Al Yibimto, right, that's the Perek. Abba Al Yibimto, right, if a person, you know, does Yibum, right, Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Ones, Bein B'Ratzon, whatever, he doesn't have the right Kavanah. He doesn't know what he's doing, or he doesn't do it willingly, he's coerced, but he does Yibum. So the Mishnah says the Yibum is Chalapilu Shogeg Mehimazida Hu Mezid Hu Shogeges Hu Anus Yalilo Anusa Hi Anusa Hu Alo Anus echad amare, echad hagomer, kana, v'lochilik ben bia labia. So the Mishnah says unequivocally that without kavana, there is ibum. There's a famous Minchat Chinuch, Mitzvah Tav Kuf Tzadiches. Minchat Chinuch says that it may be true that the Yibum is Chal, even the Ones, even the Shogeg, even without Kavana, etc. But, says the Minchat Chinuch, I think he has to do it again, L'shem Mitzvah, because to fulfill the Mitzvah of Yibum, Mitzvah Srichos Kavana, that's Minchat Chinuch's claim. We'll discuss that in just a minute. Minchas Chinuch is assuming also that you can split the two, that without the mitzvah there can be the Kinyan Yibum, and that also once you've done the Kinyan Yibum, you can still, it's not too late, never mind that you missed them. He's assuming that, you know, the Kinyan isn't the mitzvah, they're independent, and independent to the point that, you know, you can have one, not only you have one without the other, but that you could capture or catch up with the mitzvah even after you did the Kinyan. That's by no means obvious, but that's in the Cheskinos Kada. But the point is, this Mishnah seems to say that there's no requirement of Kavana. So the Ramban, in our sheets, on Lamentas on the base, says, this is line 32, 31 and 32, Mashmali, to lahat svar d'Abashol, if you believe in Abashol, I told you Ramban took Abashol literally. Habol yavimto on the sumezin lo kana. If you really hold like Abashol, but l'shem noy, l'shem ishus, l'shem davar acher is mamzer and erva, then habol yavimto ba'ones u'bishogeg cannot be kana, which means that Abashol is against an explicit Mishnah. How could it be inconceivable? Right? You're going to violate Erva and Mamzerus, but you're going to be kona her liyivum. Elabadai labishol lo kani me'ata davar mukhra shalachet nivri hachamim b'kama sugit shu perka b'yivimta d'kulam arai modibu d'kana. So Ramban says, in Achanami, there's this major, major argument between Abishol and the Chachamim about Yibum, and probably about the character of Yibum, right? And there are huge nafkamina, says Ramban, all over the Masechta, but we don't paskin like Abishol, which is, we'll explain why it is that the evidence is overwhelming, right, that Kinyan is not Makeh. Just to highlight this further,
well, what is the onus? The onus is being honest, the woman, or
he doesn't know what he's doing.
Both
could be both cases. The Gemara discusses different cases. Either way, it's not the shame noy. It's not less of a problem than the shame noy, the shame ish, the shame davar acher. Now, that's the Ramban. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman goes significantly. In his Kovetz Haros, goes significantly further than the Ramban in his understanding of the scope of Abishol. This is what the Ramban says, we can understand. Although I don't think it's mukrak, but it's very, very strongly implied. Meaning, if you hold like Abishol, that l'shem noy, l'shem davar acher, l'shem ishus is a problem, right? It's hard to understand why a bal yavimto, b'onesu, b'shogeg, etc. is not a problem. Okay. There might be another answer to this, but pashtus. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was operating off of Tshuvas HaRambam. I'll show you what the Tshuvas HaRambam says in a moment. And he just he invokes his quotes as Tshuva the Rambam, and then he has a certain perspective in Abishol which pushes him, even further than Rambam. So let me explain what I mean by that. The Rambam in Pirshu Mishnayis to Bechoros, look at 6 and 7 for a moment, it says as follows. Udvar of Khan, referring to the Mishnah in Bechoros, the Chalitza Vayibum Kadas Misha Omer, Esha'ina Mutter B'Shim Ofen, She'izkavein Hayavam B'Bias Hayavam, Esha'lo L'Shem Mitzvah. The these comments about Yibum and Chalitza are according to the Man Davar that says that the Shei Mitzvah is a requirement, a prerequisite for Yibum, namely Abashal. Avalim lekach on the Shei Mamon on the Shei Nai Hameyuki lepoga be'erva Abashal. Says the Rambam, v'zeh bilti nachon. Rambam says it's wrong. We don't paskin like Abishol. That's also the Rambam's psak in Perek Aleph Pekosiva Malacha Beis. Not sure if I have it here or not. The Rambam paskins that no. The Rambam paskins that like the Rabbanan that bias kodem liyibum. Oh. But then the Rambam adds, why is Abishol wrong? And why the Chachamim right? Ela misha nistalek mimena asur haerba kasher meis achiv v'lobanim harei muteres v'afidu niskavin shalom l'shem mitzvah. Because the second that the brother dies, the shame or the iser eishas ach is paka from that moment on, before he comes with whatever motivation he has. Right? And what about Abishol? What does he hold? Apparently Abishol doesn't think that the Isur Eishes Ach, according to the Rambam, that the Isur Eishes Ach is Paka at the moment of Nisas Ha'ach. When is it Paka then? So the Rambam doesn't say, you know, in Pirshim Shnayis and Bechoros exactly how Abishol works. He only tells us that the Chachamim, roughly speaking, apply the principle of what we call hutra. Right? Namely, the second that the brother dies, that's it. There's no Isra Eshasach. Although it could be because of the mitzvah at that point, but even though it isn't Bishas actually the doing of the mitzvah, it's Bishas, let's say, Chiyuv HaMitzvah. But, in a tshuva, however, the Rambam Reish Yud Ches, we have it on 30-31, in the next page. So here the Rambam says the same thing about the Chachamim, but he is more explicit about Abishol. He says something very important. V'yadu alachem, says the Rambam, it's the end of the tshuva, maskaras psak halacha, shemitzas yibum kodemes lemitzas chalitza. Yibum takes priority over chalitza. Afilu einam miskaven l'shem mitzvah. Right, even without kavanas mitzvah, el l'shem noi, l'shem mam. Second, you have to skip. This is all like a footnote to the Evit Plus. Then third line, last word in third line. Hoel ulachar shemeis bilo banim hutra v'nistalik yisrael v'beklal kechachamim. Because the second that he dies, the brother, right, this shame eishes ach is paka. Abalafishi does Abishol mitzvah chalitza kodemes. The Yosef Sova, because he holds she Yisrael Shesach dochui mipnei ha'ibul. This is the famous idea of hutra and dochui. The Rambam says an amazing thing in this tshuva. He says that Abishol holds dochuya, and the Chachamim hold hutra. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, when the brother dies, right? At that moment, there's no Yisra Eishasach because it's a Yavam. And it's a potential of Mitzasibo. And if there's no Eishasach, there's no Eishasach. So there's no need. You don't need L'shem Noi, Shalom L'shem Noi, Shalom L'shem Isha, Shalom L'shem Tavar Acher in order to be Doche Yisra Eishasach. There's no Yisra Eishasach. The circumstances dictate that there's no Eishasach. But what he's saying, it seems to be saying, Koi Tabashol. It's not hutra, it's dechuya, meaning the mitzvah of Yibum done properly overrides the Eishasach still exists. It's still a problem. But what overrides it? The proper performance of the mitzvah, and that includes the right kavanah. The cost of Moshe, that's his, signing off. Good. So Rav Chanan Wasserman saw this Jewish Rambam, and he's right. I mean, he brought it to our attention. He mostly put it on the map. And he says, oh, Avashol, the Chachamim argue about the famous discussion of Hutra and Dechuya. I think at the beginning of the year we talked about it. We've been discussing it, you know, partially all year round. And I want to talk more about it in the next few weeks. And this week's Parsha that we just read, Yisro, right, so that's where Rashi quotes the words of the Mechilta, right, Zohar v'Shamor, B'dibur Echad, right, so the that mentioned earlier in the year, the Mechilta says, Zohar v'Shamor, B'dibur Echad, right, Tzitzis and Kilayim, B'dibur Echad, Yisro Malacha and Shabbos, and Chi of Karban, B'Shabbos, B'dibur Echad, and the fourth one is Yibum, and Eishes Ach, B'dibur Echad. Right, so what do we mean by that? So Kelayim and Tzitzis, this is a debate, but there's a lot of evidence that Kelayim and Tzitzis are Dechuya. It's not that Kelayim doesn't exist in the context of Tzitzis, it's that Tzitzis overrides Kelayim. Mostly we would have thought that the formulation of B'dibur Echad isn't about Dechuya. It's more about Hutra, or what I call Super Hutra, you know, even more than Hutra. Now, it's not just Hutra, Kai Gavna, in Iser, but the idea that, you know, in certain circumstances, the very fact that makes something Usur in other contexts, makes it a mitzvah. Okay. The point is that, according to the Rambam, Avashol and the Chachamim are debating, Gufa, this question, Avashol is claiming that it's Dechuya, and therefore he requires not only the act of Yibum, but Yibum L'Shem Mitzvah, and the Chachamim are saying Hutra. Oh. But Rabbi Chanan Wasserman liked this Shuvah Sarum very much, and he took it a giant, giant step further, because he understood it this way. So he said, are there other issues out there that depend on Hutra and Dechuya, number one. And number two, so what does Avashol mean? So the way he understood the Rambam was that Avashol's requirement of Kavana is based on the principle of mitzvos trichos Kavana. Because not only do you have to perform the mitzvah to be doche, right, Iser Eshesach, the mitzvah is doche, it overrides the Iser, but you have to fulfill the mitzvah properly. And one of the prerequisites indispensable to properly performing the mitzvah is mitzvah tzrichas kavana, having the right kavana. He himself says, where do we ever find in all discussions of mitzvah tzrichas kavana in Shas, right, the Gemara discusses in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Ches and in Eruvin, right, and in other places, mitzvah tzrichas rei tzrichas kavana. So, tokei al ashir, you know, hayashin, you know, Basuka, you know, Bali Kavana. Where did anybody ever say anything about Avashol and the Chachamim? Right? Me'olam lo matzinu. He said, that's true. It bothers me. But, you know, this is what it is. It's mitzvah shrikas kavana. Moreover, also some other question. Number one, typically mitzvah shrikas kavana is about requiring kavana latzeis. That's not exactly what Avashol is about. Avashol is talking about purity of motivation, not the focus on fulfilling the mitzvah with this action. You could want to fulfill the mitzvah with an action and still not have purity of motivation. You might be motivated only by something else, but you'd still like to fufill, you know, you want to dedicate this also to shame fulfilling the mitzvah. Those are really two different kavanas. So here we're talking about the shame doi, the shame dovra. It sounds a lot more, and some of them say it, like a problem of lishma than a problem of mitzvos, tzrichos, kavana. Moreover, I mean, the Rambam of all people, right, has a mixed psak about mitzvos, tzrichos, kavana. Rambam says that kafo parsium, when it comes to eating matzah, mitzvos ain't tzrichos, kavana. It's only in shofar and megillah, right, the mitzvos, tzrichos, kavana. Usually the explanation is, when it comes to physical, you know, we talked about it a little bit last year, you know, misasik b'chalav and varayos, right, if you don't have right kavana, but you're getting physical pleasure, shekeinene. So, you know, that's what we're talking about here also, right, the act of yibum. The act of yibum is an act of chalav and varayos. So it's hard to say, especially for the Rambam, or for others even, but especially for the Rambam, that this is based on the principle of mitzvos trichos kavana, and there are several other problems as well. But in any case, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's view is that this Tshuvas HaRambam is 100% correct. The Kavana here, that part isn't the Tshuvas HaRambam. The Kavana here is Kavana Latzeis, and it's the Din of Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana. She himself is a little uncomfortable with it, but that's what he thinks. I think others view, and I'm raising some questions, that it's more a lishma kind of halakha than it is a mitzvah shrichas kavana halakha, but fine. And then three, and this is really crucial, he says, oh, but if this is true, then according to Abishol, we should also have eliminated some other dinim that seem to be accepted without any kind of argument in Matzachat Yavamos. For example, what about Yavam Katan? But a Yavam Katan should be a problem according to Abishol, because he's not a bar mitzvah or kavana. But the Mishnah and Kufir Aleph from the days seems to say that while it's not ideal, right, but there is a kinyan yibum for a katan. But if there's no mitzvahs yibum, and it can't fulfill the mitzvah, and the din of the chias eshesach is dependent upon the mitzvah of yibum rather than hutra b'shas misasach, then according to Abishol, right, we should have said that katan is mufka b'yibum. Or this is a question the answer Tosas. Tosas on Lamed Hamed Beis says that a mu'uberes, we talked about this, we talked about kolol yibum. But the Sugat Lamed Hamed Beis says that if a woman is pregnant when her husband dies and leaves no children, right? But she's pregnant, and the question is whether the child's going to be viable or not. So the din is that there's no yibum. There's a debate about chalitza, but there should be no yibum. There's a debate about yibum and chalitza, and maybe should be chalik between them. That, you know, while she's pregnant, there's no mitzvahs yibum. So Tosas on Lamed Hamed Beis says, well, if there's no mitzvah, this is, here, look at this for just a minute. Tosas on Lamed Hamed Beis. Tigali milsul ma'afreya lo aminan. Avagav de la kamanam isveikus shekidush yachas mishteyar achios koshvinim bas chalitza v'ibum kivin yavav liyav yomer dahod kaddish lo dami dahach ainz a safek roili isparer, and so on. V'imtoba l'reish lakish akodesi v'imtomu beres v'hipila. Right. Let's say he goes ahead and he is miyabim her. And then she is mepila, she loses the child, right? So maybe he should have violated Eishes Ach because amai potter min akarban kivin the bias uberes lo shmabia imkein Eishes Ach shelo b'makom mitzvahi, right? Even though it turned out otherwise, but at the time she was, it was an Yisrael Shach because it was a prohibition, she wasn't allowed to do Yibum. But Amari afilo hachilo mechayiv midahava katan shabo yivem to gedola tovel kamon de tkad lano. Meaning, even if there's no mitzvah, even if it's asur, right, nonetheless there's a maisa Yibum and there's no Yisur Eishes Ach. That is the what Tosa said. So Rav Chanan Vasim in his Kovatara says, what will Abishol say about Katan? What will Abishol say about Yibum Shomu Beres? So he says, in Achanami, Abishol won't just throw out the Mishnah and then give him a base. He'll throw out the Mishnah and Kufid Aleph from the base, and the Sugya here on Lamed Hay on the base. Wow. It's, in other words, Abishol would rewrite the second Yavamos, but we don't paskin like it, so it's no problem. But Rebbeinu Tam paskins like it. Rebbeinu Tam says this. Rebbeinu Tam in our sugya, I'll read it to you just 1 minute.
Why by Muberis can he have the proper kavana?
No. The problem with Muberis is that it's Asur, Shema, Shema, she will have the child. So how can you say it's dechuya mipnei mitzvah if it's asur?
But maybe she won't have a child.
Right, but right now there's no heter. Dechuya means that there's a heter. No. For the same reason that there's a problem of kavana, namely dechuya. He's saying if Abishol is based on dechuya, then anything that requires hutra should be out. So muberes and katan, there's no justification based on dechuya because katan la b'nei das or mevid mitzvah ninu, and muberes there it's aser. There's no heter. Let me. I have my time is up. I want to say two things very very quickly because we're not meeting for another. Either 1 week or maybe 2 weeks. Or three, sorry. Or maybe 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks. So, quick, just very quick. Two things. Just two other approaches, and I want to say something about the Yerushalmi for a minute. The Ramban says, as we say, we don't. Abishol is against the Mishnah, we don't pasuk like that. Rabbi Chanan Vasserman goes further, because the reason, based on Shiva Saramam, as I explained, he says Abishol is the Chuya, Chachamim Ahotra. It's a major argument. It has other consequences. We don't pass like Abishol, but if we did, right, it wouldn't just be the mission on Gimel of the day. So we'd be other things in the Misakta, a whole bunch of things in the Misakta as well. The other approach is, Nebuka Yosef and the Ritva on Nun Gimel of the day ask the same question. They say, Abishol is a Dindra Abadu. In order to preserve the Mishnah, and that Abishol shouldn't be against, even if you don't pass like Abishol, but just the idea. But the way they say it, and this will have to wait till I come back, even then there are chidushim in what they say. That what they're trying to accomplish is Abishol can exist with the Mishnah. So that's the second approach. Abishol is only the Rabban. The third approach, I think, is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam paskens like Abishol. In the end of the Tosas Lanates on the base that we started, the Rabbeinu Tam says, just to see one line very quickly, the Omer Rabbeinu Tam, see the Aleph of the Gra? Towards the Lamed Tes on the base, Sur Masel Omer Rav. You see the Aleph of the Gra. And then two words later, the Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Halacha Kabashal, Kistam Basis in the Bechoros, the Lo Kirami Bar Chama, and so on. It means arrive from the Gemara later on. The Rabbeinu Tam, Paskins, the Kabashal, the Chalitza, Poder, the Sliyibum. So, according to, if he held, if the way the Chuvah Sarayim understood it, and especially the extended way that Rabbi Chanan Vasserman understood it, then according to Rabbeinu Tam, you'd have to throw out the Mishnah and then give them a base. And the Bali Tosis themselves are the ones who say about Katan and Muber. So that requires an explanation anyway. Oh. Some of the Akronim say, oh, Rabbeinu Tam has to be Drabanan, because there's no indication. On the contrary, he's trying to prove that in Paschal, like Rabbeinu Tam, he brings Raya's. Why doesn't he bring the counter Raya of the Mishnah and Gimel of the Day? Obviously, he doesn't think Rabbeinu Tam is in conflict with Gimel of the Day. He must hold like the Mukayos if it's a Didrabban. Other people are not so sure, and they really don't know what to do, and they suggest other things. There's a tshuva of Rabbeinu Tam in a sefer called Yichusei Tanaim. V'amoraim, I think I said in the sefer, or Erchei Tanoim V'amoraim, by the Rabbi Yehuda Mispair, who is a Rebbe of the Rokeach, of Lozer Rokeach. He quotes in a tshuva of Rabbeinu Tam, which, as far as I know, doesn't appear anywhere else. The Or Zeruah's understanding of Rabbeinu Tam would confirm this as well. Probably Rabbeinu Tam doesn't take literally erva and mamzer, but understands. That it's mamzer. Meaning that according to Rabbeinu Tam, Abishol isn't saying that it's achal. Abishol is saying that even though it's chal, there are two types of yibums. And it goes back to what we discussed in the very beginning of the year. Right? There's a yibum of Kedushas Yishus, and there's a yibum which is simply l'hakim l'hakim shem b'Yisrael, where you accomplish a narrow purpose and nothing more. In order to be justified, right, in order to take Eish HaSach and to transform it, we'll discuss this more when I come back, into Kedushas Eish HaSach, you have to have the right Kavana, purity of Kavana. If you don't have that, then in a way, it's a heter of Eish HaSach, but it's a heter of Eish HaSach. Eish HaSach is staring you in the eye. And that's what Abishol means when he says, Pogeya Atah Be'erva, Be'kar Be'enai Ki'il. Not saying that it isn't Yibum. What he's saying is, you shouldn't do it. And if you do it, it's like you're doing two things at the same time. Not Zachar B'Shom and V'Dibur Echad. I mean, you're Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yibum and the Kinyan of Yibum, but it expands, you're doing it in a way which tramples on Kedushas Isha Shal Yibum. And in a way, I say this to Yerushalmi, since it's mentioned, I just want to, again, just give you 30 more seconds, just to get this Yerushalmi in. So Yerushalmi here, this is starting 11:12. Go to line 15 or 14. 15. Okay. After quoting the Abba Shol, so the Rishami says, Asidra b'chanuna ka'Abba Shol. The Tana Abba Shol, Hakonis Sivimta v'shem noy, v'shem devar machem, reizu bilas, nuts v'karv liyos hablan mamzer. Ma Abba Shol b'Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva Amar Yesh Mamzer Bivama. Originally, the Yerushalmi wanted to say that Abba Shol's din is based on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that Chai Be Lavin, right, are also Mamzerus. So the Yerushalmi originally thought that Abba Shol's idea is Abba Shol thinks that a Shomeres Yabam who's subject to Yibum improperly is like a violation of Shomeres Yabam. So Sham says, Madam Rabbi Kiva Bivama, Shazina, it's Madam Rabbi Shol, Bivemto. Right? Shomer's Yavam is someone other than the Yavam. She betrays the Yavam with someone else, not she betrays the Yibum with the Yavam. Okay. So then Yushalmi says, and this is what I wanted to bring in. So he says, Asya Krav Yosef Rab Chalafta. No, Abba Shol's like Krav Yosef Ba Chalafta. Krav Yosef Ba Chalafta, Yibim is Eshus Ochiv, Chamesh Harishos, Charash, the Chamesh Natios Nata, the Derech Sadin Baal. So the point of the simple reading of the Yerushalmi, which is understood this way, most Yerushalmim, what the Rabbi Yosef Mechalafta thought, that according to Abba Shol, it's not just initiating the Yibum that requires special Kavana, but that the marital life of the Yavam and Yavama is restricted, right, to Dvarim Shebekutu, to producing children. Meaning, Abba Shol isn't just about the motivation for Yibum, it colors the whole relationship between Yavam and Yavama. It's a very shocking thing. However, if you look at Tosin Shabbos, with this we conclude, Tosin Shabbos had a different reading, or maybe I don't think it was in a different reading. I think they just postulated that it has to be different, in a shocking case. But they said what you suggested before. Yerushalmi says, Tosa says, it's about, the Gemara says in Shabbat, the same idea. Amar Yosi Chamesh Be'ilos Ba'alti, V'notanti Chamisha Arozim B'Yisrael. Right, his intimacy with his wife only was for the sake of producing children. Okay. So the Gemara says, Aman Inun, who are these people? And okay. Then the Gemara says, could that be? The Mamad Rav Yosi Mitzas Onu Lakiyim. He didn't have a regular marital life. So the Gemara says, Ela ima chamesh bios baltin shanisi, means something else. That's a Bavli. Fine. So then Yerushalmi, the Tosis says, however, ima he bios baltin shanisi, Yerushalmi, Mishani, referring to our Yerushalmi, but in a different version, the Yavamo saw you. Right? The Lorotza lekayim behem mitzvahs ona, elarakade lekayim mitzvahs yibum, Tahina, I'm sorry, hey, Bilos, Balti, Mishanisi, right? Elarakade, the kind of Tasimum, Tahina, Bia Rishona. His version was not that he only, you know, had relations with his wife for the sake of children, but he had five different Yavamos, and he the only thing that he was involved in was the mitzvah of Bia Rishona, which is exactly what you asked me earlier. Meaning, the ultimate Dechuya. If it's true, meaning only l'shem mitzvahs yibum. That's very short. So we'll pick up with the other versions of Abba Shol next time, and also some interpretations of l'shem noy, l'shem ishus.